I'm Austin, and this is the Solana Podcast. This is our second episode showcasing conversations from this year's Breakpoint Conference, which saw over 3,600 builders and Solana community members come together in Lisbon. The community is still dealing with the fallout of FTX, and will be for some time. But the last 2 weeks have seen builders come together to redeploy key infrastructure like Serum, step further into leadership roles, and help impacted teams navigate uncertain waters. The panel you're about to hear, NFTs for All, features some of the most prominent entrepreneurs in the space discussing what the future holds for mass adoption and scalability of NFTs. Let's get into it.
Awesome. So it's so great to be with everybody today and with all of you that are streaming and watching the show. I'm Matt Stotz. You might know I'm also the host of the Permissionless Art podcast. I've had a lot of different NFT artists and creators and technologists on the podcast, as well as being the a co-founder and chief strategy officer at Olaplex. Really excited to have our panel here to talk about scaling NFTs, essentially what's going to be happening here in the market as we continue to build and go through that opportunity. I want to introduce everybody quickly, and then I'm going to hand it to Vic to do a little bit of a context setting for all of us. So we have Dayo Adeosun. He's the co-founder of Glass XYZ and the first category-leading NFT marketplace on Ethereum and now on Solana, which is awesome, right? And we have Larissa Barbu, COO of Exchange Art, which is the leading fine art marketplace on Solana for NFTs. Fantastic. And then Vic Nguyen from Alpha Team at Nansen. It's a blockchain analytic company that specializes in on-chain data, visualization, and research. And so he's got some great context for us, kind of kick us off.
Hey, thank you so much for having me here, everyone. I guess the first question we got to ask with scalability is like, why are we here? Like, how did we get to this point? So in regards to, say, Solana, what happened with that? It's got a hybrid consensus model, which uses proof of history, and that's combined with proof of staking. That resulted in basically a mass adoption, basically, because the amount of transactions and the cost of transactions is a lot more scalable. So to kind of give it a perspective, I guess it's like you're comparing like the TPS around about 13 to about theoretical 65,000 TPS. That kind of rivals like your TradFi payment processes that are available right now in the day and age. But is a Solana NFT exactly the same as, say, one on another blockchain? I'd say no. A, it's not EVM compatible. But B, it's built on Rust as opposed to Solidity. But third, it also has a different token standard. So if we kind of deep dive into a little bit more, like the components of a blockchain, it relies on a peer-to-peer network, cryptography, and algorithm consensus, as well as a reward and kind of like, I guess, punishment system, if that makes sense. Going back to, like, I guess, like, we've got the proof of stake, and the concept of that is that basically a node commit to the network, and then they get selected to validate, then they get rewarded for their securing the network, if that makes sense. So we then took proof of history, which is basically now the nodes can be segmented into time slots, and on top of that, the leader nodes, they keep track of time, if that makes sense. And what that means is that the network can validate transactions without the need for the block to fill up. So that reduces the latency, but also increases the throughput. And then as a result of that, that's where the scalability and the greater mass adoption occurs, right? Because now you've got lower cost of transactions, you've got multiple transactions on a much greater scale. And then as a result of that, you had key players that entered into the space. People that were minting, people that are trading, people that are collecting, people that are creating, they all gravitated to the space. And of all, like, we don't have that first mover advantage, we do definitely have that greater adoption and global scale advantage.
So, Victor, I think you've laid out really well what the kind of technical underpinnings of the Solana network and other competing blockchains are in this space, and then how that has had some effect on NFTs. You know, at Olaplex, we're building enterprise infrastructure for NFT projects that are going to go from 10,000 to 10 million users and more, and 10 million to hundreds of millions or billions of assets and more. And we're bullish on that long term. We're not seeing that now. We're definitely in a different market condition. So I'm going to ask you, Larissa, like, what do you see from creators, and what are you seeing from the market conditions today? What are creators looking for in terms of scalability? Will we see these massive drops or giant growth in the digital assets such as NFT?
So I think that from a creator's perspective, what they are looking for is liquid market. And certainly Solana being the highest growing community, both from a developer perspective And an artist's perspective has helped that massively. The fact that Solana has high transaction speed and really low cost helps a lot with mass adoption, because the promise of Web3 for creators was that they will find new ways to monetize their artworks. However, what happened with a few L1s out there is that the costs are most of the time prohibitive for most of the artists out there. So Solana really helps breaking these barriers and actually delivers on the promise of creating a new place and new technologies to help creators monetize their artworks.
Got it. Dio, I'd ask you kind of a similar question. You're doing video NFTs. Now you're taking an awful lot of experience and imagery and kind of locking that up in a single digital asset. What are creators looking for in terms of scalability, and how do you kind of convey that to them, and what do they find important?
So I would say that creators are first looking to monetize their creations.
Sure.
You know, so all video creators typically go from TikTok to YouTube to monetize. And so from a scalability perspective, they would prefer a blockchain that they didn't even really have to know about, you know, where it's like you could buy an NFT and you have less than $30, you know, in your wallet. And so I would say that creators want an accessible blockchain, unlike ETH, which we were on ETH for like a year last year. And we had done drops with like Timbaland, Kygo, and being able to buy an NFT on ETH using MetaMask, the experience was a lot of friction. And so creators really just want like a frictionless experience where they can just buy NFTs super seamlessly. Honestly, if they could do it with a credit card, that would probably be best. And the goal is to really just monetize their creations and own what they're creating with the community that shares it together.
Absolutely. I think one of the things people are seeing from the Solana blockchain is just that much faster user experience. If you know, you've got obviously lower gas fees, if any at all, that certainly moves things up. Vic, what are you seeing from the perspective? I know Nansen has really good intel onto what's happening in all of the blockchains, really. So, like, what are you seeing in the NFT market in particular from your vantage point?
Yeah, so from my vantage point, we're seeing a lot of interesting, I guess, behaviors from the participants in the space, if that makes sense. We're finding, like, for example, Over the time, right, like you'll have the creation of DAOs that are designed to specifically collect artwork for creators, and they're forming like kind of like a pool based on just like the enjoyment of the art, if that makes sense, kind of like on one-on-one art kind of level. But also on the other end of the spectrum, you've got people that are collecting the artwork but and NFT projects and kind of like flipping it, and then with the intention of kind of like the trading mentality, if that makes sense. And then somewhere in between all that, you've just got the people that just enjoy collecting the art. They just yeah. like the art. And then it's kind of like interesting when you observe, say, like you go into their wallet and observe, it's just like the different arrays of someone's collection of NFTs, if that makes sense.
So Larissa, you've been doing great work with artists and fine art, I guess you would call it, and you know, really one of one artists is another way of people to describe these NFT creators. How much more opportunity do you think there is in this category on Solana? Do you see this as a growing market? Have we reached stasis in some way? What's next?
I think we're looking at significant growth over the next 1 or 2 years, largely because we are looking at larger brands that are looking to enter the space. So recently we had Reddit, who just onboarded 3 million wallets with one collection. We have newly owned Elon Musk Twitter that is looking to bring NFTs closer to their core business model. We have Meta, we have Google, who just announced here at Breakpoint some more support for artists and for NFTs and for Solana. So I think there is great growth that will come in the next 1 or 2 years. I think we're also looking, the more we're pushing ahead, I think we're looking at more utility and use cases for NFTs that yep. will drive help drive mass adoption. I think we're also looking next year at a continuation of the heated debate on royalties as marketplaces and artists and collectors are figuring out which ones are the best business models that they would like to apply going forward. I don't think we reached in any way capacity, and I think there is a lot of upside from here onwards.
Well, I would agree there's a lot of upside. There's certainly bullish signal from the fact that Instagram is integrating Solana NFTs. you know, Google coming in to support some infrastructure in terms of running validators and providing cloud services. At the same time, those are really big brands, right? These are like the tech giants. Yeah. And so as a startup operator, as a, you know, small, relatively to the scale of these tech behemoths, Larissa, how do you think about that with your company in that context? That's some pretty heady potential competition.
I don't see much as competition. I see there is just a lot of opportunity going forward. We have our knowledge that we managed to gather over the past year, and we have built a strong community here on Solana as our home. And I think we will be looking to collaborate with all the other big brands that are coming to the space to find the best ways to help creators grow and to deliver on the promise in which we started a year ago to actually help creators make a living and thrive outside of the traditional art model where they depend on a gallery that typically charges between 50 to 70% of a sale of their sale price. So we will still be here and we'll be looking to help and to partner with all the actors that can help us deliver on the promise that we've made a year ago.
Great. I would paint the same question to you, Dayo. So you were talking about your projects, your creators come to you from YouTube. They come to you from, you know, Instagram. These are Meta and Google's products, right? So like, how do you feel about, you know, this? It's really a good sign, but also potentially challenging.
So I think we need context, you know, because we started this because we believe video is the biggest market in the world. And so in the 1960s, 1970s, there were about like 10 channels.
Sure.
You know, a few cable networks that owned those channels.
I think it was fewer than that.
Fewer than that. Right. And then in 2005, you had YouTube that came out and it pretty much just said anyone can make their own channel. Anyone can be a star and YouTube is going to own that network. And now in Web3 in 2021, you had Glass, which came out and said anyone can create a channel. Anyone can become a star, and anyone can own the network that they're creating content for. So I think there's a fundamental issue for Web2 platforms coming into the space, which comes down to creator ownership of the platform. You know, it's like Ronaldo has how many followers on Instagram? It's like people come to Instagram for Ronaldo. And so I think what we're going to see is humans are going to get tired of intermediaries like ads getting in between their experience with the people who they want to connect with. We're going to see these live experiences like this where you're making, like, you know, Timbaland is making $30,000 in 2 hours on his Genesis music video with his Bored Ape. Yeah. And that's an experience that is fundamentally not possible on YouTube. And so I think from a marketing perspective, there's a new tool set. I think from a like actual product perspective, there's a new tool set. Ownership of that product perspective, there's a new tool set. And I just think when you have so many different parts of the founder stack being disrupted, I don't think that they're going to be able to get like a creator like Tihan from China who has 100 followers on Twitter but can still monetize his video NFT, make $1,000 by getting 50 collectors that are buying his video for $20. So I don't think they're going to be able to compete where we are because we're, you know, just a little underneath. But I do think, you know, it's great to have these bigger guys come in just to give more validation to the people who still might be on the fence, but I would say hop now if you're on the fence.
I hear you. So great way to just put the context out there. Web 2, Web 3, you can't compete with what I love. I think, Dayo, this is the first time I've ever heard this, founder stack. We talk a lot about the software stack and the technology stack. Olaplex, we build an indexer that's fully open source but available for every protocol to read off of the chain. And like we're so deep into that. And then you realize like you've got fundamental economics for the founders, people who want to create and own what they're doing. That's really fundamentally different.
Yeah, it's creators are creator businesses now, right? So it's like everyone grew their network on somebody else's platform. Yeah. And they're realizing that and they're like, dang it. But now, like, as people collect your NFTs, you have a one-to-one relationship with those people, and then you just keep growing that. And so instead of Mr. Beast giving people a bunch of money 10 years later into his YouTube career, now you have an up-and-coming Mr. Beast that is offering you NFTs for $10, you're flipping those for like $30, $40. And as Mr. Beast drops each video, you're monetizing with him throughout his career to the top.
Incredible. Plus, there's Beast Burgers now too, right? I
think, yeah.
Right? Okay. So we went IRL. Vic, I wanted to get back to some interesting questions around scale. We talked a lot about the technology stack. Dio told us about the founder stack, which is really cool. But there's a financial stack as well in the Solana ecosystem. We're talking about, you know, low cost of transactions, but also how does that, you know, general availability of a highly liquid token and many tokenized protocols, how does that accelerate adoption here and create better uses for creators, people who are making NFTs?
Definitely, because when you're looking at a global scale, you want the creator economy to be able to access the tools to be able to create, right? And it's not really possible if it costs hundreds of dollars to actually create their works, if that makes sense. So being able to do transactions for fractions of a cent. And then, for example, you look at Solana Mobile, you're looking at having mobile devices available to all users. The experience of being able to onboard people, like, say, on a Web2 level and a Web3, where the experience is pretty much no different in the future. You're now having creators giving more scale in terms of reach than ever before.
Amazing. Yeah, I would just add that you know, you're participating in an economy, and so when you come into the Solana ecosystem, there are built-in economics that can really work to the advantage of anyone who's creating. And obviously, you've got liquidity, you've got the ability to trade the assets that you're creating. A lot of fundamental things that I think for the founders who are coming to this space, they really have to appreciate, right? They're not just using a service or a platform.
Exactly.
So it's really cool. I'm going to do like a quick lightning round, and I'm going to ask you a little bit about your favorite NFTs. Vic, I know you are in the Monk DAO, serious SMB owner and all that, but you can't shill your own project or your favorite. So pick another favorite project in NFT, and we'll go down the line and talk about them.
Another favorite project. Solarium NFT. Basically, it's a project that a friend created, but it was basically a procedurally generated flowers and stuff like that. And she created, basically out of passion from a kind of like an artist perspective, but watching the behind this process of actually working out the different layers between the gradients and stuff like that was just really fascinating, watching someone who was previously Web 2 and so Web 3 space and then actually like appreciating it from watching a founder grow, essentially. That was something I had the privilege of, like, you know, like I couldn't get that anywhere else.
Amazing. Larissa?
I will pick a category instead of an artist. And my category of choice this time is 3D art. 3D art. Okay. So we are looking at, and the reason why I'm looking at that is because in the future, in probably 1 or 2 years, we'll see more and more fine art merging with fashion. And that's where this 3D art will come and and play a bigger role. So that's my pick of the day.
Amazing. Dio, now you got to pick a video NFT. So yeah, it's going to be hard.
Yeah, this is almost impossible just because we've dropped so many amazing drops, which you guys can check out on eth.glass.xyz and the new glass.xyz. But we recently just did a drop with Kids of the Apocalypse, and they did like a 666 NFT mint on Magic Eden, and then linked that to their debut music video NFT that they dropped on Glass on Thursday.
Amazing.
And so everyone who collected the Magic Eden one was able to collect the free video NFT, and then they were able to flip that. And so I would say Kids of the Apocalypse, which was done with Rio Cragen and some legendary guys, like, it kind of feels like Stranger Things, and I don't know if they're going to make a movie.
Awesome. I got to check it out. I'd say my favorite is Motley Friends coming out on the Night Market. New project, I think, is super cool. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you all for being here and talking about
thank
the market
so
and what's happening
us
on Solana.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you
so much.